shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendrick.
Okay, we are not connected to Ted's?
Not just yet.
All right. I thought I heard Ted just very briefly there, and perhaps if we get the line going, we can get Ted Bell. Ted, are you there?
I thought I was on your air there for a moment, but someone turned the radio up, and they said they just heard me. They said they heard some sound.
Yeah, we had you very briefly, but the line was not yet fully connected. I apologize.
Well, all right. And I'm saying this. I know that we're on the air right now, correct?
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, I'm saying this on the air, but that will make the fourth consecutive appearance I've been on your program that I have been brought on in a way that...
I apologize, Ted. It's a technical mishap. They do happen.
Yeah, but that's the fourth consecutive time that I've been brought on your program that that's happened.
I understand that. I apologize. We will work and make every effort in the future.
Well, hold on for a minute, because this will interest your listeners. What you're giving me there, Phil, is what we call in my business, we call that the straw hat. And what the straw hat is when you say to a customer, I'm very sorry, we'll make every effort. And you really know in your deep in your heart, you're not going to make every effort. You're not really going to change much of anything. You're just going to keep doing what you do. You just made that one mistake, but you're not going to make every effort. So you're giving me what we call the straw hat. And
the straw? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I knew that you were. Let me tell you exactly what happened.
Please.
We knew that you were going to be on the show tonight, but we decided, as you know, when Bud called you, to shift you to the first hour. We're going to have Margaret Gray on the second hour talking about sanitation at McDonald's. But we didn't want her talking about sanitation at McDonald's and then go into your hour, which might affect people's perception of your restaurant.
All right, I appreciate that very much, and I did get that phone call.
Okay, what didn't happen is that after Bud had called you, we did not establish the ISDN, not the ISDN, we didn't establish the phone line to the restaurant properly, and so that when we brought on your jingle, you were not yet there.
When you say you had not yet established the phone line properly, are you saying that you had not yet dialed the number? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
All right, well then speak English. You know.
Well, I
didn't dial the number. You know, when you, I think your audience understands, Phil, that, you know, what that means. You don't have, we didn't establish the number properly, and we have the ISDN and the connection. It all sounds very impressive and very technical, but really what we're talking about is you haven't picked up the phone and gone boop, 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 you know, done the, where is it, over here. You didn't do that, did you?
No.
And who's supposed to do that?
Bud.
There you go. This guy, Bud, I gotta tell you.
I forgot. I didn't have your number on me.
He didn't have my number on you. Let me say this, Phil. I hope he doesn't have my number on him. I don't necessarily want my number on him, but I'd like it somewhere in your studio so that when you guys are ready to call me, you've got the number.
You're absolutely right. Everything you're saying is right.
Well, that's a first for me. I feel very good about that.
Well, you know, everything is... We were very... And I'm saying this to you, Bud. You were completely... You know, what were you thinking?
I did call him up and told him that we was going to go to him, and then I hung up.
Yeah, in other words, he should have kept me on the line.
You should have kept him on the line because you only called him about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, but then he would be sitting there and everything.
I don't care. I'd rather be sitting there than, you know, they tell me that what I sounded like when I was on just a moment ago was like that. That's all they heard.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
And you're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah, well, the way you did it, it was very funny, but that's exactly what happened. The line was not connected properly, so that when you started to talk, all we got was this quick blast of a consonant or a syllable.
Yeah, what was it? Terry Binford's here, and she said, go ahead, do it, Terry. That's what I sounded like. That's great, thank you. Thank you very much.
Ted, you know what? I think everybody knows that in radio it is a... It's a constant struggle when we're doing live to keep things technically connected. I don't think anyone's going to blame you for that. If they do, I'd like to say openly that it is our fault and that you are a fine sponsor, and we're sorry that we brought you on in such a manner, and that we will attempt to do it better in the future.
All right, I appreciate that very much, but like I said, you know, I'm just an individual here trying to make a living, just like everybody else, Phil. People think that I'm a millionaire, and if you want to talk in technical terms, all right, I do have money, and I have money that, yes, if you were to count it, it would go into the millions. Now, that's what the technical aspect is, but I'm struggling like everyone else. I struggle like everyone else to make a living. When you say that a man's a billionaire, and you say that the man has money in the millions, what you don't say is, well, is he paying for a business? Is he supporting, you know, is he paying salaries? Is he running a business? Does he have expenses? And all of that is very true. And after I get done paying all those expenses, do I still have millions? The answer to that question is also a yes. Yes, I do. But those millions are subject to inflation. They are subject to the constant pressures on the dollar. And they're subject, certainly, to the constant pressures that I have in my business. So I don't sleep any better than anybody else at night just because I am technically a millionaire, just because I technically have that kind of money.
Well, you also have your money in gold, as you've told us.
I do, yes.
And you have purchased gold to such an extent that you've had the gold, in some instances, turned into things, I know.
What do you mean, turned into things?
You said you put a statue.
Hold on, but I'll talk to the guy.
Yes, I did. He's right. I had a figurine, if you want, Phil, made for the front of our house, and it is a family figurine. I'm hoping it becomes an heirloom. I'm hoping that our son Josh takes it and passes it down. It is myself and Marcy and Josh. It is a beautiful beautiful statue that was formed by a young artist named Vladimir Pardin. That's P-A-R-D-I-N. He is from the Ukraine, and he fashioned this out of, I believe it was originally stone, but it is gold-plated. So we used solid gold plating.
And you have this in front of your house?
Yes, we do. We have it in front of our house. And I don't think it's ostentatious. It is a gold statue of myself and my wife and my son. And then we have a gold statue of only me, which we have at the foot of the driveway. So is this ostentatious? I don't think so. I think it's an investment. And I think it's the kind of investment that I'm very proud to make. I think that, you know, when you invest in something, you don't just keep it in a vault. But you do something with it. And
you also mentioned that you've had...
Hold on, please. You interrupted me. I was going to say, you invest and you also make something out of it. End of sentence, period. Okay, go ahead.
I apologize. You had said...
That's all right.
Okay, you had said that you had made a tea set?
No, sir, not a tea set. No, we made serving trays. We have a set of serving trays and we have a set of dinnerware. A tea set? When did I ever say a tea set?
I'm sorry. Well, I guess the thing that stuck in my head was the serving tray. And
well, that doesn't mean I've got a tea set. Why would I ever do that?
I don't know, Ted.
You have to understand, you don't make things just to say you made them. You make things that you use. So if you have gold and you want to create something with the gold, do something with it that is going to be useful. And
well, what do you call making a statue of yourself?
I find that is a representation. You know, if you want to make an issue of that, that's a representation of my family. And
no, the statue of you and your wife and your son, but then you have another one. And
yes, I do.
And it's of you.
Yes, it's a statue of me. What we have is the one, we have the statue of myself and Marcy and Josh, which is up near the front door of the house. And then down the drive, about halfway down the drive, is a statue of me.
What is the statue? Is it just...
It's just me standing, smiling, and I have my hands in my pocket. One leg is extended forward as if I'm just relaxed. And I asked the gentleman when he made this to create it in such a way that I'm greeting someone. I'm saying, I'm Ted Bell. And so the mouth is slightly open as if I'm saying, hi, I'm Ted Bell. But I'm relaxed, My hands are in my pocket. One of the people that floated a rumor, which I thought was the crudest thing and was destructive and very hurtful to the employees at the restaurant, and it was also reprinted in one of the local Beverly Hills papers, which I thought was utterly irresponsible. They said that Ted Bell has a statue of himself made out of gold. The fly is open on his trousers in the statue. Ha, ha, ha. That may be funny if you're in junior high school. It was not funny to me, and it was not funny to my family. And
that's a rumor started by someone, maybe a rival in business, huh?
Well, I don't know, but if I can tell you this, if I find out who started that rumor, and if I find out and I know who the guy is, I will take steps to, at least bring some kind of civil action, because I think that...
Well, did it get public? I didn't hear about it.
No, but it got public in Beverly Hills.
A gold statue you'd had created...
The gold statue of myself... Had the fly, was either the fly was open or
it was the one of you.
The one with me and Marcy and Josh.
The one with you and your wife and kid.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's the thing that really made me angry, that I'm standing there with my fly, excuse me, with my fly open. Can I get, don't put so much pepper in that. I got a, if you don't mind, Phil, I got a Bloody Mary. They put a little too much pepper in it.
And no, you got to relax.
I feel like relax. I got the statue with the fly open. But I really want to talk to you here about this lottery. Is that what you wanted to come up with?
Well, we want to talk to you about, yes, about the proposed changes to the lottery law that you are putting forward. And the story here of a worker in India who won $1 million on one of their local shows. He's a very, very poor man. He's a government worker. He's also a teacher. And he's impoverished.
I've got some very definite ideas on who should win these lotteries and who should not win these lotteries. It's gotten out of hand, and I think we do need to make some changes, yeah. But I wanted to be clear on that statue. The fly, the rumor was that the statue of myself and Marcy and Josh, my pants were open.
That's the rumor.
No, that's what the statue looked. Yes, it's the rumor. And it's tempting to laugh. Okay, go ahead. Get it out of your system. Jesus.
I'm sorry, Ted.
You know, all I ask for is an adult conversation and not this kind of nonsense.
I apologize.
Well, you're doing a lot of apologizing tonight, as well you should.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I don't know who started that rumor. It is very injurious, as Ted said. He is a prominent businessman in Beverly Hills, and... he does drive a lot of business to the city, and he employs a lot of people, and a lot of people go to his restaurant. So, yeah, that's. We're going to come back, though, and talk a little bit more about business with Ted Bell tonight, including lotteries. Who wins lotteries, and what happens to that money? Do the people that win lotteries, do they actually benefit the rest of the economy, the rest of society, with what they do with the money? We'll be back to talk about it with Ted Bell here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Beverly Hills, we are a steakhouse, and I'll tell you something, we've got the Kansas City, we've got the New York. I can tell you, if there are any other cities that are named for steaks, we've got those. And Ted's of Beverly Hills. I want to start a Beverly Hills steak, Phil.
You know, I was thinking about that. Why did they call it a Kansas City steak or a New York steak? Why not a Beverly Hills steak?
I'm going to start a Beverly Hills steak, we'll call it the Ted steak. It's a cut, you know, that's what we're talking about. We talk about the Kansas City steak or the New York strip or the New York, the sirloin. It's a cut of meat, and I think that I'd like to name one of our fillets or perhaps a tenderloin. We'll call it the Beverly Hills cut, and we'll have it on the menu. And I bet you anything that it takes off, because the tourist trade loves that kind of thing. And a lot of people, and I do thank you for this, Phil. You've brought a lot of business to our restaurant, which I do very much appreciate, because people hear about our restaurant through a talk show. And I've said this to you before. I'm not telling you anything that isn't, you know, that you don't already know. It's, the clientele tends to be...
middle class?
Well, I wouldn't... I'd say some of it sometimes tends to be lower middle class. And we're happy to have those people. You know, a lot of them, we got to give them a jacket. You know, you're supposed to wear a jacket when you come to my restaurant. That's what you do.
And exactly. And the women... women can wear pants.
Oh, yeah. The women are fine. We don't like to see jeans, but we understand. But the men have got to have a jacket, and I don't mean a bomber jacket. I don't mean a leather jacket. I'm talking about a regular sports jacket, at least. And that's just how it's going to be. I've never changed that rule since I took over the restaurant. That's the one thing I instituted. My father, and I love my father, but the place just had gotten too many bums and slobs coming in. I shouldn't say. Sorry.
All right, well, let's talk here about this.
But you got to wear a jacket. And if you could say that on your show, and you would be telling your listeners that, you'd be telling the people that are listening that.
You mean right now?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind.
Please wear a jacket.
Well, give it some sell, you know.
Okay.
In other words, pretend like this is part of the commercial.
No, I understand that, but we wanted to do an interview.
I know, I want to do the interview, but I'm asking you to include, if you wouldn't mind, a little bit of a sell here for men wearing a jacket in my restaurant so I don't have to deal with as many of these individuals that don't dress good and they listen to your show. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, for those of you who are listening to the show right now, if you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, I'd appreciate it very much if you are a man. That you wear a jacket.
Whoa, what do you mean if you're a man? I think we know.
Ted, do you want to do an interview here? Or?
Yes, I want to do an interview, but I also pay for airtime on your show, and I'm trying to get it so I got people walking through the door at this place that, you know what I'm saying, they know how to take a napkin and put it in their lap. Nothing fancy.
Are you telling me that you don't like the grade of clientele that you get at your restaurant because of the advertising on my show?
I'm saying that I'd like to have some people that at least know how to put a dinner jacket on. You know what I'm saying? Please don't push me to say what I really think.
Boy, what?
Mr. Holmes.
Yes, David.
Yeah, Philip, just calling. I think that Ted is right.
Well, that's a shock.
Boy, what is that? What kind of a smart-ass comment is that?
Well, every time you call in the middle of him being on the show...
Bill, he's trying to help me out here, okay? I'm trying to just say to give it a little punch, that's all. I'm not trying to mess up your show.
Well, every time you call when he's on, you're backing him up.
He's a sponsor. I'm just saying, if the guy wants you to... What do you want him to do, Mr. Bell? I want him to do just say, when you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, those of you that are listening out there in Talk Radio Land... Because a lot of you probably don't go to a good, I guess I shouldn't say that, but a lot of you probably don't go to a good restaurant too often. And, yeah, no, it's fine.
Oh, well, what do you mean a lot of you don't go to a good restaurant?
Hold on. Then would you please wear a jacket? You gotta wear a jacket. Otherwise, Ted will not let you in to sit down and eat the steak. Boy. Can you do that?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the show, he doesn't want me to say if you're a man.
Because the women are going to be insulted. If you're a man, would you wear... If you're a woman, ladies, this isn't for you. Don't wear a sports jacket. What's that mean? Yeah, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Women are going to... One of the things about women is they don't like being insulted, and they'll go ape all over you if you insult them.
Okay, gentlemen listening, when you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, if you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills...
Whoa. What is that if? No, you don't say if.
Look, let me just do this so we can get on with the hour, okay? I think I know how to do a commercial pitch.
God. All right, go ahead.
You know, I mean, you guys are...
No. Go ahead. It's all right. I'll hang up. I thought I just wanted to call up and help a sponsor. But if you don't want my help, then you can... Is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, would you please wear a sports jacket if you're a man? And I don't care if you're a woman being insulted by the fact that I'm assuming that you don't know this. Women, you don't have to wear sports jackets. Only guys, you need to wear one when you go to Ted's.
Well, that butchered... Boy, did you butcher that. That's all right. No, it's fine.
I butchered it, huh?
Well, yeah. I consider myself to be reasonably intelligent. I don't know what the hell you just said. Well, if you... look at this. Now we're at a break, huh?
Yeah, we're at a break. We still haven't gotten to this.
My fault.
We'll be right back at a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, with Ted Bell on the lottery and who should win it and who shouldn't. And remember to wear a jacket when you go to Ted's. Please.
Yeah, now that was good.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Enjoy the great sporting events. I know the World Series is almost over, but we've got NFL football. That means not for long. If you don't get to Ted's, get a steak into you. Come on. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
By the way, Ted, the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. I forgot to mention those.
When are those? Yeah, I want to know. When are those coming out?
Those are very, very shortly. They're in design now. And very shortly, we're going to have those in our merchandise shop at the Phil Henry website. So,
all right, that's going to be a beautiful thing in time for Christmas. These hoodies, which I know the kids like, because they want to look like they're gangbangers or whatever the hell their problem is. I don't know. But, I don't think that they're gangbangers, but I... you talked me into it, so,
Well, let's not talk about their hoodies, okay? And they have Ted's logo on the front and on the back, your time-honored slogan.
Yeah, we want to put our meat in your mouth is right there on the back so that when you're walking down the street, people will say, wow, I wonder what steakhouse that is. And they'll walk around and say, hello, I just noticed that, the slogan is, and please, Mr. Henry, so many people have made jokes about this.
No, I know.
Please just don't do it. So they'll walk around and they'll say, where is this? Oh, it's Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Don't they, they'll probably go around and say, you want to put your meat in my mouth?
Who said that?
Bud did.
What did I just get done telling you guys?
Bud, shut your mouth.
Well, it's too late now. Oh, boy.
Shut your mouth.
I just got done telling you, don't go kid. Don't go the childish route.
All right, let's talk here about...
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead and talk about it, yeah. Now that you've wrecked my business.
I doubt it, Ted.
Yeah, really? You know all about the steak business, huh?
No, but I doubt seriously whether this idiot... You keep your mouth shut.
Hold on for a minute. Would you guys shut up in the kitchen, please? I'm on the radio. Tell it. Hey, Oscar. Go ahead.
All right, Ted. In New Delhi, a poor government clerk from a desolate region of eastern India has become the first person ever to win $1 million on an Indian game show. Sushil Kumar's staggering win on the popular Indian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has transformed him into a role model for millions of aspiring youth yearning to escape their lives of poverty and find a role in India's burgeoning economy. His win echoes the plot of the 2008 Oscar-winning film Slumdog Millionaire, whose impoverished protagonist won the grand prize on the show. Now, this man and his wife of 4 months, they wept when the Indian movie legend Amitabh Bachchan, the show's host, handed them a check for 50 million rupees, just over $1 million, after the contestant gave all the right answers. And it was quite an emotional moment for them.
Right, and I read about this, and my congratulations go out to this gentleman. He's a government clerk, you said?
Yes, he is, a government clerk and a teacher.
And a teacher. The problem that we have here in the United States, and I don't know whether they have the same problem in India, and I'm going to bypass what you've done to my slogan, we'll just keep talking about this. And
well, you're not exactly bypassing it when you bring it up.
Because it really burns me up. It burns me up when the kid, when I said, don't make a joke out of it, and he did. Anyway, my point is the following thing, Phil. If you win $1 million, you can do a lot of things with $1 million. And there are a lot of things you can do with $1 million that do absolutely nothing for the economy, for the country, for the society that you live in. So if you win your $1 million and you go out and you buy ridiculous things, let's say you win $1 million and you're going out and buying stupid furniture, ridiculous looking paintings. You don't invest. You don't make the money work for you.
Wait. Ridiculous looking paintings. All of those things, though, go to people that make the paintings. And
well, they go to people that make ridiculous looking paintings and stupid furniture. Yes, it doesn't go to a bank. It doesn't go to a place where the money is going to be used by others to invest in, for instance, the building of homes or the building of businesses. It's not wise. It's not a wise expenditure of money. And what we're looking for is a wise expenditure of money. The money is going to be...
Do you think that a lot of people buy stupid stuff when they win the lottery?
I think that one of the problems we have is that the lottery is generally won by people who are low income. And so that means, doesn't mean they're stupid, but it does mean that they don't have a lot of experience at buying things. And they don't have a lot of experience at purchasing items that are not only beneficial to themselves, but also to the society they live in. For instance, buying an American automobile, going out and purchasing shares in a company that is trying to, something like a green company, something like a company that makes solar power.
Well, you're talking about all of these really touchy-feely, politically correct investments.
No, it doesn't make any difference what it is. I'm talking about maybe touchy-feely.
And well, the whole green thing.
Forget about the green. I'm just saying, purchasing something, stock, or a holding or a position with a company that is actually going to be hiring people. In other words, not buying a lot of velvet dogs playing poker paintings. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And so a lot of kitschy garbage is what you think people of low income buy when they win the that they buy when they win the lottery.
Yes, I think that there's an awful lot of wasteful spending by people that win the lottery. So my point is this: if you are going to enter the lottery and you win, I believe that if it's a state-sponsored lottery like California or something like that, there needs to be some appraisal of your income. I believe there needs to be some question and answer form of some kind that asks, what are you going to do with the money? And I don't think that that is something that, because if you don't, you're going to put this country into even worse shape than it already is. You get people buying stuff that they shouldn't buy. A lot of...
Well, I don't know how much that actually affects the economy. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Charlie. Hey, Charlie, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Hendry, I'm listening to the gentleman on the radio this evening, and he's talking about poor people and lower-income people purchasing things that are not good for the economy. I dare say I can't think of one thing that you can purchase that is not good for the economy, as long as you're circulating the money, you understand?
That's a good point. But there are a lot of things you can buy that don't help the economy. There are a lot of, for instance, as I just got done saying, if you go out and you buy bad, cheap furniture and dogs playing poker velvet paintings, okay?
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a kind of a
well, it's sort of this pop art that some people have put in their homes.
Generally, they put it in the basement. But the people that win lotteries, they don't put that in the basement. They put it in their living room.
I don't know what you mean by a dog playing poker. I'm talking about
that a dog isn't playing poker. It's a painting of a dog playing poker.
I'm simply talking about the fact that if you win the lottery, and you're an American citizen, and you spend that money, and no matter where you spend that money, it's good for the economy.
Is that right? What about excuse me for saying this, what about in a brothel?
Oh, don't be ridiculous in a brothel.
Hold on for a minute. Why am I being ridiculous? What if the guy spends it in a brothel or on dog fights?
What does he mean, dog fights?
Okay, so you're saying that a guy that wins $1 million...
If the guy is of a low-income guy, okay? Look what happened with Michael Vick. We found out that low-income people like dog fighting. So you're going to take a guy...
Oh, no, that's very racist. Very racist.
And I'm not talking about racism. I'm talking about guys that don't have money like to bet on dog fights. Okay?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, Michael Vick was black. So what are you saying?
I didn't say anything about him being black. I said that
Michael Vick isn't poor either.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the guys that go out and bet on these dogfights that Michael Vick was sponsoring. That's what I'm talking about.
So you're telling me that a poor man, like this gentleman in India, is going to go lay his money on the line on a dog fight?
Well, no, I wasn't talking specifically about the gentleman in India. I don't know if they have dog fights in India. You know,
they might have dog fights. They might have cobra fights. There could be some.
Well, they could have some kind of an animal fight. You're right. I don't know what kind of animal. But yes, there would be dog fights. It's India. But maybe they have elephant fights. You know.
Well, I doubt if they'd be elephant fights.
What are you talking about here? You're the one that brought up the elephant fights.
No, but you're saying in India, this man who won the lottery could be spending his money on something really stupid, too.
That is exactly right, Phil. Thank you. That is exactly right.
And who is the one that judges whether it's stupid? Because, and allow me to finish my point here. If you don't like something that a man does with his money, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is a bad investment. If a man wants to go out and buy a velvet painting of a dog playing poker, or if he wants to put the money on a dog fight, or if he wants to put his money into a brothel, it ultimately is not it's not your decision.
See, that's where you're wrong, because I believe that we can make it our decision. I believe that we can enforce who gets to win lotteries by way of law, so that we don't have some guy that's going to run right out with his $1 million in earnings and lay it all on the line in a dogfight. I just don't think...
I think it's asinine, Mr. Henry, to think that that happens.
Well, I think it's asinine to think that it happens to the extent that it affects the economy.
Well, how do you know? Who is the guy? Sir, with all due respect, who are you?
Who am I? I'm a businessman. I live out here in America like everyone else. Who are you?
Well, who am I? I'm Ted Bell. All right? I'm Ted Bell.
That's fine.
Well, what do you mean that's fine? I'm Ted Bell.
I don't know who Ted Bell is.
Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Philadelphia.
You're calling from Philadelphia. All right. Well, I'm Ted Bell, all right?
And well, he owns a restaurant in Beverly Hills.
I don't know the restaurant, okay?
Do you eat steak?
Yes, I love steak.
All right, if you eat steak, have you eaten steak in a restaurant?
Yes, of course.
All right, I'm Ted Bell.
I don't know who you are.
You know, I think you're lying, because if you eat steak in a restaurant, I think you're lying.
I haven't been called a liar in a long time. I'm telling you that if a man wins money in a lottery, he has the right to put that money into anything he wants, including a brothel, or including a dog fight, or including whatever it is that you're saying.
What I'm saying right now is I'm Ted Bell, and you're telling me you've never heard of me.
You're going to have to let that one go, Ted.
Who's talking?
Phil Hendry, the host.
Oh, sorry. What do you mean I got to let it go? I'm Ted Bell. You asked me who I was. Did you ask me that?
Yes, I did.
I'm Ted Bell.
You're Ted Bell, and he doesn't know who you are.
Lionel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henry, for your great show, and I will hang up now because I don't want to talk any further to this jackass. Thank you, and good night.
Did you edit that out, please?
Edit out what?
The fact that he called me a jackass?
No, we didn't.
What an embarrassment.
Well, Ted, look.
You didn't edit that out?
No, we did not. I mean, I it wasn't profane.
He called me an idiot. He called me a jackass, I guess.
I understand that, but here's the thing. When you say to a guy repeatedly, I'm Ted Bell, and he doesn't know who you are, I think you're going to have to just move on, okay?
No, he knows who I am. If you eat steak in this country, if you put meat in your mouth, you know who I am. All right? Because if you do that, my name comes to mind. And if that kid that works for you tries to make a joke out of that...
All right, I understand. Do you still hold to the opinion that a low-income person winning the lottery or winning any other large cash prize is going to put that money into ridiculous or even illegal things?
I believe the level of judgment there is not as good as that which would attend someone of a higher earning capability and a higher, if you will, class in society. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Have you ever in your life bet on a... illegal, and have you ever bet in an illegal gambling enterprise?
What is that supposed to be?
Have you ever been in a poker game? Or
of course I have.
All right, and you know that those are illegal for the most part in the state of California.
Oh, give me a break, will you? I'm not talking about. What are you talking about?
I'm saying that a man is going to do what a man's going to do with his money, and not everybody, including you, puts his money into things that are legal.
A poker game? That's not the same as dogfights. You're going to win some real serious money in a dogfight.
Poker doesn't have serious money.
Yeah,
not the kind of money, not the kind of cabbage you're going to pull down in a dogfight. I only wish dogfights were legal. You can pull in decent money in a poker game if you get in the right game. But a dogfight, you don't get it. You know, you just don't get it.
Well, how do you know about dogfights?
Because, all right, I bet on one once. One time, just to see what it was about.
You bet on a dogfight?
Yes, I did. And I know I don't hate dogs, and know I don't want to see dogs get hurt, but I do like money. And I had to balance whether I like to see dogs get hurt with the fact that I like money, and it came out that I like, you know, money more than seeing a dog get hurt. So, I mean, I don't like to see a dog get hurt, but I like money more than not seeing the dog get hurt. In other words, what I'm saying is...
All right, hold on, Ted. 877-876-PHIL. We have to take a break. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills with us talking about who should be winning lotteries, if anybody. Who should win the lottery? Who should win cash prizes? If you don't know what you're doing with your money, then why should we give you any more, even if you win it in a lottery? The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills and enjoy a class evening out. And bring your girlfriend, bring your wife, and enjoy real class. Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
And remember,
you wanna put our meat in your mouth.
Who did that?
I'm sorry, that was my fault. I pulled the music down.
What is it with you guys that you can't get anything right over there tonight? What is it?
I'm sorry, we'll play it again, Ted, okay?
Oh yeah, sure, play it again. I led into it, I said... And remember, and then you were going to hear the slug line, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and you blew it. You blew it.
You're right. I...
You're getting this. All right. The second thing I want to say here, God almighty, you know what, Phil? I'm glad I sponsor your show, but...
You know, you've had a lot of complaints, and I understand technically we haven't handled things right, but you have not yet made it very clear to me and to my listeners how it is a man who is poor is not allowed to enter a lottery. You say he spends his money on ridiculous things like velvet dog poker playing paintings, bad furniture, and now what is this you passed? This is a message to Bud.
Yeah, this is. I want to hear that music, cut 3, tape 2, reel 9. You got that, Dickman?
Yeah, cut 3, tape 2, reel 9.
Yeah. Now, when you guys start talking about dog fighting, I want to make it very clear. What did I just? I just started talking about dog fighting. Should do it.
That was a cue.
Oh, sorry.
When you guys start talking about dog fighting, I want to make it very clear. Yeah, there you go. That's not me. This is not me. Here, this is dog fight music.
All right, let me get Brad Rifkin on the line here from Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas. Brad is also in the advertising game, Ted, and we've been talking awful lot about that.
Hold on.
Snake for a necktie.
Yeah.
Got a brand new house on the roadside.
And I love to watch dogs fight.
I got a brand new.
All right, who is the guy?
Hey, Brad. Brad, how you doing?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm great. This is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Yes, Mr. Bell. How are you? I'm very pleased to meet you.
Ted Bell.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Brad, why don't you tell Ted what you were saying?
Well, I've been in advertising a long time, Mr. Bell. I'm very familiar with your restaurant, and I'm very familiar with the work that you do.
So if I say to you, I'm Ted Bell, you know who I am?
I absolutely know who you are, yes, sir.
All right.
But I don't think you're looking at this the right way. If a man wants to spend his money on a dogfight, he's entering into an illegal enterprise, obviously. So that money is going over to other people that use it for illegal purposes, and that money is lost. That money is lost. But if you look at the country, the United States of America, you could see that were that the case, then the country itself would be in much, much worse shape. But the fact is that people have invested over the many, many years of the history of this country in legitimate enterprise, legitimate business, and that is what's made the country grow. So I don't think you're looking at it historically the right way.
Well, I know you're saying a lot. You're making a lot of noise, but you're not making any sense. What do you mean historically the right way? All I know is that if
who do you love?
See this? Yeah, I know you think that's dogfighting music.
Who do you love?
I wanted to talk about dogfighting, so I want this.
Ali took me by my.
All right, when these guys are investing their money in dogfighting, this is what you hear. When you want to invest your money in something that's classy, this is what you hear. Okay. Right. Okay. And what if you want to invest in my business, which is the advertising business? What do you hear then? All right. Well, then you'd hear this. You'd hear this. Okay. See this? What's that supposed to mean? Well, I think you know. No, I don't. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean, Ted?
Well, do I got to spell it out?
Sometimes I feel like
I want to walk away. In other words, you're trying to say that I'm involved in some. I'm telling you that the business you're in is not what I call, a manly enterprise. But you went to an advertising agency to get.
That's right. It's the end of the hour. We'll be back with Margaret Gray on the Phil Henry Show.
Wait a minute. What happened to the hour that I'm sponsoring? I'm Ted Bell.
Phil Henry.
Ted Bell.